All right, here's your social studies pop quiz for the day. Which foreign country is most likely responsible for Iran's national basketball team qualifying for the 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing? Any ideas? I think you know where we're going with this. Well, here's Ed Baxter of KGO Radio San Francisco with someone who knows the answer and has the details of this intriguing story.
Just about every day, there's something in the news about tit for tat. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Well, if you're going to do this, we're going to do that on the world stage, confrontation between the United States and Iran. Yep, the, in quotes, great Satan and one of the, in quotes, axes of evil are duking it out, so to speak, on a regular basis. The leaders of both nations throw verbal salvos to one another to show that they're both being tough and that they're not going to take anything from the other guy. Now, while this schoolyard-like posturing never seems to end, things are quite different when it comes to regular people who happen to be citizens of the United States and citizens of Iran. And of all things, it centers around U.S. basketball players playing overseas in Iran and helping the Iranian national basketball team make it to the 2008 Summer Games in Beijing. With us from Germany to explain the whole story is Dave Hein of Hein News. He's a journalist who covers international sports. Dave, thanks for being with us.
I'm glad to be with you.
This is a fascinating story. I need to hear more, though. What's going on here? How did this all get started?
Well, about 7 or 8 years ago, the Iranian Basketball Federation decided that it needed to improve the game of basketball in Iran and decided that, well, why not bring in some American players since they are worldwide considered the best there are at the game. And so the first one came in 2000, and as of 2 years ago, there was 37 Americans playing over there, and the number has dwindled down a little bit now, but it's still definitely an impact, and these players really taught the basics to a lot of these Iranians who really lacked fundamentals, is what I've learned from talking to a few of the Americans who've played over there.
So you say there are 37 of them. How did they get there? How did they get their start? Why did they go there? Who are they?
Well, none of them are big names. They basically the big name college stars who don't make it to the NBA usually try to head to Europe and then eventually try to make it back to the NBA. And obviously, because of all of the political turmoil that is going on, that the federation basically said, well, you know what, or the clubs and the federation basically said, we need to jack up the prices to the salaries to bring in some of these guys to basically overcome that initial barrier. And talking to the guys that have been over there, it's just nothing but praise for the people. They've just been absolutely wonderful to all of them, to all of the Americans that have played over there.
So they're able to separate then the world politics and the world stage from getting out there and playing hoops, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's basically going out there, getting onto the hardwood and playing basketball. And I mean, that's the beauty of it. It's there's been sports have transcended politics in the past, and this was just another example of it.
But every day, it seems like every day anyway, and from my business, the news business here, that there are headlines about nastiness, name-calling between the United States, between back and forth between the United States and Iran. As you're an American basketball player, I'm trying to visualize. You come out of college, you realize, okay, this is not going to happen for me. I'm not going to Italy to come back. How do they find out about Iran? What's their first response, and why do they say yes?
Well, I think how they find out about it. I mean, there's a whole scouting system out here of agents and scouts looking for players in general. A lot of them come to the United States and look, go to summer camps and whatnot, and these college basketball players play in those tournaments, and mm-hmm. And there are a couple of agents and scouts that work with Iranian clubs, and those clubs also have contacts to other people who then have who make then suggestions, and then those players who are considered who would be given an offer, usually because it's Iran, would like to talk to somebody, and there's a FIBA certified agent live in Iran, and he's sort of the middleman for a lot of these Americans coming over. He basically hands the telephone over to an American living and playing in Iran, and basically talks to that player. And after the reassurances from that American or those Americans playing in Iran, that everything's safe and really there's no worries, the people are great and everything else, add that component to the financial component, which it's very lucrative to play basketball in Iran for Americans, very lucrative. Put those two together and you get Americans going to Iran.
Yeah, okay, Dave, but this is not Italy. You said that they're treated well. It's not France, it's not Italy. You're going to Iran. There has to be some anti-American sentiment there. Do they feel that, or you know, how do they get along?
Well, the ones I've talked to have never really felt it directly from the people. I mean, they see signs, obviously, you know, as Americans, you know, on television or whatever, you see a picture of a billboard with a flag with a bullet going through it or whatnot, and they go and they see that, but they realize that it's their government and the American government, and you know, a lot of them, you know, they say, well, you know what, you know, it may be that your government doesn't like our government, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you know, we can't get along. So I don't think, and none of them have ever voiced a concern about it to me. So I don't really, I think it's just they live basketball, and I mean they love the game, and that's what really keeps them there, and especially also the friendliness of the people, that they really look past all the politics. You know, a lot of these guys are you know, they just want to play for, you know, whatever, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years in general, if that's in Iran or wherever, make some money, and then, you know, and then try to find some other work, you know, later on. So it's basically just trying to, you know, have as comfortable a situation as possible.
These sound like the guys who love the game and don't get the $10 million contracts.
Yeah, well, I mean, the money is really not that bad. I mean, you figure for about six months, I mean, $200,000.
Okay.
It's actually pretty good money. I mean, you know, the upper echelon of Americans coming to Europe, that's kind of the money that really you can kind of go and expect if you go to Iran.
Can you teach me to shoot hoops, Dave?
Can I?
Can you? Yeah, I mean, I like go over there. The money doesn't sound bad. $200,000 for 6 months.
But, yeah, well, that's what I mean. I mean, okay, there is another condition that the Americans actually, if they go over, they actually do face a fine from the U.S. Treasury, because they actually are considered providing a service to Iran, which is, of course, a violation of sanctions.
Well, I was going to ask you about that later, but let's get there now. The U.S. government, the sanctions. How does this happen then? I mean, are they do they get some kind granted some kind of ability to be? Obviously, they do, or are they risk being fined when they come back, or how does it work?
Well, I guess I've never talked to an American that actually has been fined, and it's the fine of up to $50,000 by the Treasury Department, and basically, they have to. In theory, before they even go over, get a certification or an allowance from the U.S. government to do this trade. I mean, in theory, this providing services to a sanctioned government. In theory, if you go over there to teach English, you are also eligible to be fined.
I see. And so the government is not happy about it. The official position is don't do it.
The official position is don't do it. But, I mean, I really don't know I don't know of any of American who's actually gone and gotten this fine because of it, but it is on the books. As you know, when they do upon reentry, that they could actually get fined up to $50,000. So,
I want to go back in just a second to talk about the out of the government outside American reaction, but I want to talk first about Iranian reaction. How do the Iranian people or how are they received there? How do they feel about the players from the U.S. being in their country? I mean, how do the Iranian players themselves react? Those two questions.
Well, talking to some Iranian players over the past couple of years, they, you know, these are basketball players, and basketball culture in Iran is very similar to the basketball culture in America. You know, there's hip hop music, and so they're listening to, you know, bands like 50 Cent, and
really?
And they're watching NBA TV, so you know they're watching, you know, Dwayne Wade and Kevin Garnett. So mm-hmm. that culture is still there. Basically there's that side of it, that they are really part of this culture anyhow, this basketball culture. And on the other hand, the fact that, they learn so much from these guys. I mean, these aren't the upper echelon, basketball players, but they are definitely, higher skilled than, the Iranian players, and the combination of that, also the fact that these guys, you know, I mean, just the fact that they go over there, that they take it upon themselves. Obviously, there has to be a character, you know, a solid character to these players. And talking to some of the club management of in Iran, they say, okay, you know, we can't take any bad cases. We can't take any bad guys over here because, first of all, those guys probably wouldn't come over anyhow. And then you would never know what would happen. So they basically just look for. You know, people with good characters.
Yeah, they might not come back, quite frankly. Is that a possibility or no?
Having honestly never been to Iran, it's something that I'm really fighting to try to get to. I really, you know, from talking to both sides, the Iranian side and the American side, I can't imagine, you know, that
becoming an international incident. Yeah.
I really can't. Yeah. I really can't. Yeah.
Okay. What about the general public? I mean these the U.S. players that go over there. You mentioned the Iranian players being in the 50 Cent and all of that stuff. I mean, these guys can't go out clubbing. You know what is? But they have to. They're out there. What is the reaction from the general public in Iran?
I mean, they love seeing the high flying, you know, the dunks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know the Americans tell me that you know after the games they all come down and want autographs, and they, from everything that I've heard, it just seems like there's been nothing but support from the crowd as well, because okay. I think there is a certain sense that these guys are actually coming over and actually helping as well, because they also see a better product on the court. You know, I mean, basketball. You know, basketball is not as popular in Iran as mm-hmm. it is in America. I mean, and I mean, it's you know, it lags behind obviously soccer, but even wrestling and volleyball are kind of bigger sports in Iran. As strange as that may sound, but
yeah.
It's actually the case that basketball is sort of, you know, third. You know, really fighting with volleyball to take over third place in the sports landscape.
Yeah, and the international basketball. I read a poll actually a while back that said basketball was the number one participation sport in the world, followed by soccer and table tennis. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, living here, I cover basketball European wise, and I mean internationally as well. But I obviously living in Europe and traveling through Europe. I mean, you think about it, it's really the second most simple field that you can, or court, whatever, that you could actually put together. I mean, soccer, all you need are, you know, like whatever, two t-shirts, you know, four t-shirts, and then, you know, guys kicking the ball through the goal. And the basketball, really all you need is one or two baskets, and it's, you know, that's really all you need. So just from the simplicity of it, the game, and that I can imagine that clearly. That's number two.
They're talking to Dave Hine of Hine News about U.S. players going to Iran to play basketball to help out their national team. Now let's talk about the families of the U.S. players. I have three sons. If one of them came to me and said, "Hey, old man, I'm going over to Iran to play some basketball to teach them how to do it," I think I would think for a second and say, "Do we want to talk about this? What's the reaction from the families of the players?"
Talking to one, he admitted that his wife and he had, I think he had only one child by then, or if maybe they had twins already as well. I can't remember exactly how it was, but they were really, really worried. But they were able to contact, stay in contact on a daily basis, a couple times even a day. But I really think that it's this, the player gets the reassurances from the guys who are in Iran, and kind of even probably lets the guys in Iran actually talk to the wives or the families or whatever. I think that that's enough in some regards. I mean, there's one case where a guy from Chicago. Some of the rougher streets of Chicago. His mom actually said, "Please go. He's probably safer in Tehran than he is in the rough streets of Chicago." And I think just that kind of example is just I think typical. I mean, you can get killed walking across the street. Just as likely, or even, more likely than, getting in a terrorist attack in Iran. I mean, but the main thing is, I think these reassurances from the Americans going, who are already over there, I just think that has all the impact in the world on the families back home. Because without those, I don't think anybody would be going over there.
That is a great point, Dave, because it is such an urban sport, basketball is here, that this is probably a real opportunity for some of the guys that are going over there. Lifestyle adjustments, American players, there have to be some stuff that they do that's living in Iran is different than living in the United States.
Yeah, sure is. There's one guy, Garth Joseph, who's he's a fringe player. He played at St. Rose College up in upstate New York, and had a couple games in the NBA. I mean, the guy's huge, 7'3", 320 or so. I was reading a story and how he says, man, bacon's illegal, and so basically had to go on the black market to buy bacon for like $10-$15 a pound. So of course it's an Islamic culture, so you have to adapt, and there's the clubs, there's really no clubs there, and alcohol is banned in public. I mean, really it's banned in general, but talking to these guys, there really is sort of kind of like an underground scene kind of built up that you can get what you want, and some of the guys say even drinking a beer, it's kind of like back in the States would be like have whatever drugs or whatever. It kind of has that same feel of getting it, but they can get it, and they do if they want to. But I think it's one of the things that I think it also kind of does, it actually helps the players. I mean, some of the guys I've talked to, they actually say, I can't go out to a club, and I can't have like these women, going after me, or whatever. It actually, to a certain degree, allows them to actually focus more on the basketball.
Yeah.
So, in that regard, it's it may not, some of these guys actually may, think it's a positive. So.
Okay. Well, good. Yeah, and it's certainly a different set of structure them.
Yeah. Exactly. It is definitely a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
I mean, for the time that they are over there. I mean, just the fact that you can't. Do this as freely as you would back in the States. You just have to adjust it. I mean, and you have to, because otherwise, you would I assume, you know, be, you know, go. I'm sure there's you know, cultural police or, you know, kind of on the watch out that if it's too excessive that, you know, something, you know, could actually happen.
Let me follow on that for a second, because you mentioned the police there, and this is built on a tapestry of us saying, you know, you have nuclear weapons, and I'm saying, no, we don't have nuclear weapons. We are talking basketball, and you've done a very good job of explaining that. But have there been any tense moments? I mean, has anything happened that has, for the U.S. players, that has made them uncomfortable?
Like I said, not from anybody that I've heard, that I've talked to, you know, either on the Iranian side or the American side. I mean, they all talk about how great the people are, and I mean, okay, these guys aren't exactly out there looking for trouble either.
Right,
you know,
right,
they're
right.
They don't really have, you know, they're not walking around with a T-shirt saying, you know, hey, I love America, Iran sucks, or anything like that. You know, I mean, they're not really going out looking for it. So I can't. I mean, I suppose also just the fact that these players are there, and they're actually playing for clubs that are owned and run by huge corporations, including also the Defense Department, the Defense Ministry in Iran. I mean, they actually have, I think, two or three are the owners of two or three clubs, and so. Of course, when they go on road trips, there's also, you know, bodyguards there to kind of, you know, make sure that nothing happens as well. So, I mean, as far as from what I've heard, that, you know, and I've been following for the last 3 or 4 years now, because I really think it's an unbelievably fascinating story. I've never heard of anything, any occurrence that has. You know, that has been problematic.
Have they been exposed in your knowledge at all to any anti-American rhetoric or rallies or any of that kind of stuff?
Rallies. I mean, the one player was telling me that he walked into the gym, and there were anti-American posters up, and he said that it was basically just a rally from the night before. You know, obviously there is an anti-American sentiment among the people, but from what I've heard is that there's really been Tehran is also a, you know, it's a metropolis. I mean, I don't know exactly, but I imagine there's probably 3, 4, 5 million people. So you think about a city in the States, you know, as long as the movement's not huge, you know, you're not always going to find, you know, these kind of rallies. And stuff.
Yeah, well, and right, and I'll ask you what happened, but I mean, you talk about it's a cosmopolitan area too. I mean, relatively, it's not a bunch of guys running around in the desert. You know, this is a city, and they have advanced in technology a long way.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Well, now, what about the Iranian government? You mentioned corporations and the clubs and that kind of thing. Obviously, they have to sanction the U.S. Players being there. Is there some sort of official position that you're aware of on this at all?
That's something I'm not exactly 100% sure on. I know that for a time there were. I think this was actually more at the beginning stages. I think they kind of opened up and said, "Okay, well, you know what? We do realize that this is kind of needed." But early on, I heard of some Americans, and they were actually Americans, and they actually had passports given, different passports, you know, like from Senegal or from, you know, Syria or whatnot. I think that was kind of a beginning, sort of or maybe a recognition that, you know, this might be a little bit strange. But I just think that the clubs, you know, the other clubs and the federation said, you know what, this is working. We, you know, these guys are, you know, these are good guys, and they are helping us. And there's a lot of them. There's no reason for us to, let's say, hide it.
Yeah, got it.
I mean, that was in the initial stages, but you know, there's no hiding it now. There's limits. You can only allow two foreigners on the team, but but that doesn't have to do with the government sort of looking down upon Americans at all.
Well, I mentioned in the open, and if you would confirm this as you're covering it, the American players are trying to help the national team qualify for the Beijing Olympics. Number one, is that true? Number two, how's it going?
Well, I mean, they're not actually. First of all, Iran is qualified. They qualified at the Asian Championships. They actually kind of pulled an upset and beat Lebanon in the final, and are qualified for the Beijing Games. And this is a huge deal. The Iranians are an emerging power here in Asia. I don't think it's necessarily that the Americans said, okay, we're going to help the Iranians, but I think it's just the fact that they were playing against Americans and playing with Americans, and they had to improve their game in order to play with them and play against them. The gentleman, the one player I was telling you before, the Garth Joseph guy, mm-hmm. you know, he, like I said, he's 7'2", 320 or something like that. So any center in Iran who plays against him has to learn how to deal with a guy that massive, and obviously that's going to improve your game. You play with, even if you play with, let's say a mid-level point guard from the States, mid-level Tulane University. One guy went to Tulane University. Playing with him, playing against him, you're going to improve as well. So I think it's just the fact that of the years of playing against those players, also developing good talent. I mean, there are talented players in Iran. I think that's just the combination of that, and it really just helped improve their game far enough along, gave that improvement that quick, that it just worked out. But I mean, it's not the Americans didn't say, okay, we're going to help the Iranians right. make it to the Olympics, but they did. They definitely had a huge impact because of their performance that they have, and that the Iranians actually had to step up their game to reach the Americans' game.
And what about the U.S. players' reentry back into the United States, readjustment issues, those kinds of things? Anything of note there?
No, I don't think so. I think it's anytime an American comes and goes abroad to play basketball, I think when they go back, you know, first it's, you know, just family friends, hanging out with family friends again and seeing them after a few months away, and then playing ball in the summer, resting, rehabbing, whatever the case may be, and then just working on your game and whatever that may be, dribbling or whatever, you know, shooting or whatever. It's just, I don't think there's really any develop. I mean, okay, they are dealing with you know, friends who may not know what's going on,
right.
And trying to explain the situation for them. That may be the case for some of the players that went to they go to Iran. They come back and say, you know, have to tell them, have to educate the Americans what it's like there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's good. So, final question leads right there. Do you think this is having, number one, any kind of impact on the attitudes of people in the Iranian government, or number two, on the U.S. government, which of course they can't admit for what you explained, but mostly about people? Is this about people to people, or how is this going to impact the world setting? Do you see it as a much larger picture as I see it?
I think the thing that would bring this whole thing to a different level is if an Iranian were to make it to the NBA.
Got it.
There have been a couple. There's a center. I think he's still probably like 21, 22, and he's like, you know, 7'4". But you know, he was a guy that, had he gone to college, he could be in the NBA now. Mm-hmm. Just the fundamentals were lacking there. There's another guy who the Iranians are kind of trying to push to maybe play in Europe. Were trying to play were trying to push to play in Europe. This season, that didn't work out, and he's actually said that he's going to try to go to some NBA camps this coming summer. I think if that happens, then people will say, okay, then this is something that we should take a look at. I don't think that may also then have a political impact to say, maybe as they get to learn more about these players or this player or you know whoever goes over there, whoever goes to the NBA, as that happens, then maybe I could see maybe a political impact. But even that, I don't think is going to be a huge impact.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and then people to people. I mean, you do it step by step. Certainly,
exactly.
Certainly be interesting to see how the team puts kind of a different level on it, watching the games in Beijing.
Actually, you know what I think would be the biggest impact is if the Iranians were to pull an unbelievable upset and beat Coach K's Americans in the Olympics.
There you go.
If that were to happen, that would be then. Actually, that may spark then fighting, which of course none of us want. But
yeah, right.
I mean, something like that. You know, a real shocker. That would then be the kicker that would maybe change something.
I can see Coach K going, "Oh, wait a minute! How did that happen? What happened there?"
I'd like to see Coach K try to pronounce some of these names.
All right, Dave. Well, you know, we can read more about it and see more about it at HeinNews.com. Dave Hein, that's H-E-I-N. Thank you very much, Dave. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. And to everybody out there, please think differently about Iran. Think differently about the world, because that's what it's all about.
You got it, and you just did say that. Thank you very much, Dave. We appreciate your time. Thank you. Again, Dave Hein of Hein News and HeinNews.com. That's H-E-I-N News.com. Thank you for being with us.
After each and every segment of the Arete School Webathon so far, I've asked Joel Kirsch, the president of the American Sports Institute and the person directing the development of the Arete School, how what we've just heard relates to the school. But this time, Joel, it seems kind of obvious.
Yes, Martin. This one is kind of obvious. You know, obviously, it's a basketball situation. It's these players over in Iran and how they're being treated. It's what's going on between the current administration in Washington, D.C., and the leaders in Iran. And so this is in the newspapers every day. This thing is perfect for a learning experience.
Yeah.
You know, kids, I'll bet you most people in this country right now wouldn't know where Iran is on a map.
That's true.
Or the capital,
that's proven, yeah.
You know, Tehran. But through this learning experience where the kids studying the situation using basketball as the foundation, the kids would know where Iran is and being next to Iraq and all that's going on with that issue and what the capital of Iran is, and studying the Iranian culture through this experience that these basketball players are having in Iran. And the other interesting thing is that the kids will be able to understand that while the rhetoric between the governments of
the two countries,
that's
politics.
Exactly. On this other level, on this human level, where people are connecting, that's not the case.
Right.
And so the kids can really start to understand that sometimes politics gets in the way of international relations, and that the people know how to take a different path to establish the kinds of relationships where we don't want to hurt one another.
Right.
We want to serve one another. So is this kind of obvious, Martin?
Great lesson, yeah.
You
great
bet
lesson.
It is.
Yeah, yeah,
and so
yeah.
These are the kinds of lessons that the kids are going to be learning at the Arete School, and we hope people want to support this kind of learning. You can do that by clicking on Donate at the bottom of the screen here and making a contribution to support the Arete School.